Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries. I want to thank Pastor Rory for another opportunity to present the Word of God. I also want to thank Deacon Caleb for taking an offering this week for us. So let's shift our minds away from the issues of life and focus on the message from God the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Bible tells us. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 20, the Lord says to us, "For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." If you're listening or watching, then it must be an accident. You either typed in the wrong domain name, or you forgot that Pastor Rory is taking a well-deserved vacation. I mean, seriously, you must be a fellow truth junkie. If you're tuning in right now, then you're truly hungry for the Word of God. You must know that God the Holy Spirit is the active voice of the believer. You must know and understand the essence of our God. You must also know that there is only one source of absolute truth, the Bible. And well, if you don't know, now you know. We come to Bible study for renewing, to allow God the Holy Spirit to guide us by the truth in the Word, so that we can know the plan of God the Father, the unconditional love of His Son, and the amazing sacrifice of the uniquely born one, the Lord Jesus Christ, on our behalf. So let's be occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the singing of His praises. And listen to June Murphy as she reminds us that suffering is part of life, but it's never in vain. She says that when you suffer, suffer for Jesus' name. Consider it an honor. Do not disdain. This song ties back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Where all things, including suffering, work together for our good. The song is, "When You Suffer."
If the world comes to hate you, remember it hated me first. I came to seek and save the lost, not to condemn or hurt. If you were persecuted, you should not consider it strange. Remember what I've done on the cross. You can learn not to complain. Silent before my shearers.
Let there be no doubt that I was separated from my Father for 3 dark hours on the cross. Do not forget the privilege of counting the cost.
When you suffer, suffer for my name, consider it an honor. Do not disdain, just remember what I've done on the cross. You can pick up your cross too. Think on these things when you suffer, when you suffer. Oh, when you suffer for my name, consider it an honor. Do not disdain, just remember what I've done on the cross, that you can pick up your cross too. Think on these things when you suffer, when you suffer. Think on these things when you suffer, when you suffer.
When you suffer, when you suffer.
Welcome back. We come here because we know we don't have to clean up our sins or work to better ourselves. We know God does all the work from salvation on the cross to the renovation of our soul. Our free will gives us tremendous power, and when we decide to be obedient to the plan of God, that power becomes divine. The fact that you're watching or listening shows that you want to take full advantage of your union in Christ. There is no greater truth in the entire world. God loves everyone. We read from the Word of God in John chapter 3, verse 16, the following precious words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful truth. The verse doesn't say that the great heart of God only loves Christians or religious people. The verse doesn't say that God only loves righteous people or churchgoers. The verse doesn't say that God only loves Bible thumpers. The Word of God is clear that God loves the world. And that includes everyone. No matter who you are, God truly loves you. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 continues, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died on the cross for all humanity, because God loves the whole world. This means that God loves the murderer. This means that God loves the adulterer. This means that God loves the homosexual. This means that God loves the crooked politician and the corrupt banker. This means that God loves the vilest sinner and worst criminal. This means God even loves you. This means that God even loves Deacon Elliot. Yes, God loves people. God loves all people of all faiths and all backgrounds. He loves each and every one of us with a love that is without conditions. He made the ultimate sacrifice, though, that we could have a relationship with him, a relationship guided by unconditional love, a love that accepts imperfect people. It's a love for all. It's a love that accepts everyone and forgives everything. 3 beautiful letters, A-L-L. The Lord Jesus Christ gave so much to us when he obediently followed God the Father's divine plan. Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creations. I hope you guys appreciate it. I'm not asking you to turn to each Bible verse like Deacon Elliott did. You're probably a little tired. So continuing in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I find a lot of comfort and security in those verses, especially verse 17. In him all things hold together. The uniquely born one holds all things together. He holds families, friendships, and ministries together. The Lord Jesus Christ holds relationships together. And we know that from Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that he produces our highest and best no matter what. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And part of the Lord's purpose was for Broad Ministries to have unity. So we had our first homecoming a couple of weeks ago, our first Barah Ministries homecoming. It was actually a really cool event. We had 2 days in a row of biblical workouts with the Word of God. Thanks to everyone involved, especially Pastor John and Pastor Rory. These two men pour their souls into the study of truth, and we reap the benefits. They have truly gone all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a great homecoming because they work so hard on the behalf of all of us. Wait, that's not actually true. They didn't work hard for us at all. They didn't work because they were doing what they love. And you never work a day in your life when you do what you love. I never thought I'd be quoting Confucius. But their unconditional love for God and for their congregation makes studying and teaching a pleasurable pursuit rather than a burden. It was a lot of fun to see our royal family who is spread across the United States and around the world. I enjoyed getting to know some of them on a more personal level. I do have one regret, though. I wish we had more time. I wish we had more time to talk to more of my real family. I didn't have time to talk with everyone as much as I had hoped. But I'm excited because we're going to have another homecoming. And I'll be able to, and now that I have faces with names and a more personal relationship with my royal family, I'll get to know more of them. I'm also happy to get more time getting to know my fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've gotten pretty far here, but let's start my opening prayer. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for another opportunity to speak from my pastor's pulpit. Thank you for doing so much work on our behalf so that we can have a relationship with you. Help us to use your unconditional love with God, others, and even ourselves. I pray that you strengthen those enduring health issues and comfort those dealing with abusive relationships. I pray that you push the new man in each of us to step outside of our comfort zone and have real divine impact in our time on earth. We ask this through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name, amen. So, with that, welcome again to Broad Ministries. You're listening to Deacon Denny Goodall. You're listening to lesson 486 of the Creator versus Creature Conflict series. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to a place where you can let your guard down and build up your love for God and for everyone in your life. Today's study, unconditional love allows us to achieve what Satan never could. How's that for a title? Booyah. My introduction hinted at my main message. You see, God is love. He is the source of all love. As I said, He loves the whole world and wants us to all have an eternal relationship with Him. Our gracious God knows we're not perfect by any means. He knows we're going to do stupid things each and every day. Yet He remains. We don't ever have to fear because God is waiting right outside the door. Just as Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 reminds us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. The basis of life is a relationship with God, whether we like it or not. So the smart option is to open that door. Relationships in general are hard and can be difficult at times. How about God and Satan? Satan rejected the authority of God and attempted to be like God. Or how about God and Adam? Adam was willingly disobedient to God's plan. And what was God's response? God forgave them. He welcomed them back by giving and forgiving. We have the freedom to take advantage of the work of our Creator on our behalf. He volunteered His spiritual life as a sacrifice for anyone that believes. Even though we may reject and deny Him, He still has unconditional love for everyone. He wants a relationship with us. God wants us to have an amazing life in time and eternity. We can have an amazing life when we have a relationship with God and can give, forgive, and love without conditions in a free and graceful manner. A relationship with God is the basis of human life. And shallow, intermediate, and deep relationship will litter our lives if we are unaware of the unconditional love that is available from God, because He is love. And that's not just my opinion. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, I don't mean that kind of love where you say, sure, He's forgiven for drinking out of the milk carton. I mean that kind of love where they do something really hurtful, and yet you can still forgive them with grace and freedom. I would wager a lot of money that almost everyone here has had someone not replace the toilet paper roll while no one else is home. I mean, you fill in the cheeks. I mean the blanks. That's not a happy ending. Now, I'm joking, but can you forgive real abuse? Could you pardon an adulterous admission? Or how about murder? What if someone killed a family member? Or could you forgive someone who rejected your authority like Satan did to God? If you can forgive with grace and freedom, then you can love without conditions. Unconditional love is the basis for relationships. Now, if a relationship with God is the basis of life, and unconditional love is the basis for relationships, what does that make your focus in life? Well, for Satan, his focus was to be like God. A relationship with God was not on the agenda. He wanted to get rich quick. Well, we can do what Satan wanted to. But first, let's take a 5-minute break and hear June sing Count It All Joy. This song continues the theme that God works all things together for good. Even things that seem unfixable have a silver lining. The song is Count It All Joy. Well, only 18.
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy, the testing of your faith is worthwhile. It can produce in you patience when you're God's obedient child. When you fall into various afflictions are momentary and light. Count it all joy. Things work for the good when the attitude is right. You know that heartaches and troubles will one day be out of sight. Afflictions are momentary light. Should count it all.
Welcome back. I love that line, compared to the eternal weight of glory. nothing measures up in this life. That line gives us a glimpse of how much power we really do have by being in union with Christ. So back to it. That's right, we can do what Satan wanted to do, but was never able to do. Are you thinking, who wants to achieve anything that Satan wanted? Are you thinking that Deacon Denny has finally snapped and is talking crazy? No laughing, Elliot. He already thinks I'm crazy, I guess. You see, Satan wanted to be God. He thought he could shortcut his way to power and fame. Satan was the first creature to want it all without all the work. Well, our God, in his perfect sense of humor, gave the church-age believer the means to get rich quick. There is no work necessary on our part. The Lord Jesus Christ finished all the work on the cross so that all we have to do is believe in him. We say yes, and we win. We say yes, and we have what Satan always wanted. We get to see what it's like to be God. We get to have a lasting relationships because people want to be in our presence. The difference is Satan didn't want to experience any hardships or suffering. He wanted to be a leader that didn't experience rejection or disrespect. He wanted the easy route to success. Well, as church-age believers, we have the easy route guaranteed by the substitutionary spiritual death of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, God does want us to experience the hardships and pitfalls of life. He wants this because adversity and prosperity teach us what it's really like to be God. God created Satan and gave him tremendous blessings. I mean, if you read Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, we get a preview of how God blesses his creatures. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. I don't even know what half of that stuff actually looks like, but it sounds shiny and expensive. God didn't stop there. He put Satan on the mountain of God and let him walk among the stones of fire. I don't know about you, but I'm staying put on the mountain of God. Yet Satan rejected God after all this blessings. And did God get emotional and abandon Satan? Did he kill Satan as he could have? Nope and nope. God forgave him and offered him more if he returned to fellowship with God. God forgave and intended to give in grace and freedom. But Satan rejected the reconciliation offer. But he didn't stop there. He continued to be a thorn in the side of God. Now put yourself in God's sandals. What would you do if you found out someone you love had rejected your relationship? What would you do if your spouse admitted they had an affair? Would you forgive like God and then offer them more than if they remained? Would you say, hey, I know you cheated, but I forgive you. And how about a new Mercedes-Benz? Well, that's what God did. If you live unconditional love, then you can feel what it's like to be God. Unconditional love allows you to forgive. Unconditional love knows that people are not perfect. None of us is perfect. As Deacon Caleb said, we come up here and give you a lesson, but we need to work on all these same things. We need to give more. We need to put ourselves second. We need to remember these things. Because unconditional love knows that people are not perfect and will eventually do something stupid to sabotage their relationships. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, verse 19, which confirms the self-sabotage. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. Most people say their first reaction to an adulterous admission would be asked ask for a divorce. While their family members pile on with verbal and sometimes physical attacks on the person, we all know that that's not how God, who is unconditional love, would respond. A marriage can survive the situation if the partners can love without conditions. We all have the feet of clay and will most likely annoy, bother, and deeply hurt those people closest to us. The sooner we realize that no one is perfect, including ourselves, the sooner we can live in a life of freedom. So I was talking with a close friend of mine who confided in me that his wife had cheated on him. He was a flood of emotions. Anger, sadness, shock, even a little bit of excitement, because he thought maybe he had a way out and he was going to be a bachelor again, but ultimately he didn't want to be. I asked him what he did. He told me he forgave her on the spot. I asked, was it because she came clean and was honest? And he said no and got choked up. And after a short pause, he said, that's what God would do. I said, wow, sorry to hear that, but your display of unconditional love is awesome, and you should be proud of yourself. Now, my friend's not a real talkative guy, but he needed to let someone know of his pain. So I tried to listen, but I had to ask, how are they doing now? I got another short pause. Then he said she moved out. Now, I didn't know what to say, but I was like, wow, I'm sorry. He told me that she couldn't forgive herself. Even though God forgave her as well as her husband, she couldn't forgive herself. Isn't that what we do? We struggle to let go of situations or things we've wronged someone or let them down. Why is it easier to be mean and cruel than it is to be nice? The story has an happy ending, though. My friend continued that his wife moved out, but only for one night. She stayed at her parents' and came home the next day. He told me that their relationship had moved to a whole new level. They were in love again and understood what really matters in life. Relationships with loved ones. Relationships with God. They cherished each other more than even other more because they stopped focusing on their respective flaws. As I thought about my friend's situation, I couldn't help but think, he knows what real unconditional love is now. He knows what it feels like to be God and have someone reject you while you still love them. But more so, God doesn't focus on our flaws either. That's really why God wants us to experience life. He wants to share everything with us. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure human life, so do we. So we can see through his eyes and know what unconditional love really is. No matter what happens to you in your life, God allowed it, and he is always right there with you. Suffering is always followed by a wave of blessings. As long as you stay connected to the vine. We're reminded in John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We can be content in all circumstances because the word of God says so. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our God can turn around a seemingly trying event in the snap of a finger. In the case of my friend, overnight. Or how about the thief on the cross next to the Lord Jesus Christ? All that he wanted was a five-finger discount, and he ended up on a cross marked for death. There was no chance, he thought. There's no chance that he thought there was a way out. However, little did he know, his way out was hanging right next to him. In Luke chapter 23, verse 42 and 43, we hear the plea of the thief and the response of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me, the Lord Jesus Christ, in paradise." So this is another ostensibly bad situation that ends in paradise. There are so many more as well. People often say, "Why doesn't God care?" But the real question is, why don't you care? Why don't we care? Everybody asks, why doesn't God care about something when something tough happens in his or her life? But do you care when you see somebody stopped on the side of the road? Do you stop and help? What would you do if you saw someone being harassed in public? Do you stop and help? God does. God cares for each one of those people. Do you care? God cared enough to volunteer his spiritual life for us. The uniquely born one was the only perfect payment. The Lord Jesus Christ freely, readily, and cheerfully substituted his spiritual life so that we could have a life beyond this human life. We say yes to his hard work on our behalf, but do we say yes to hard work on his behalf? As believers, we are called to help one another. If you focus on unconditional love and overlook the faults of others, then you can care for anyone. I can't help but think of driving is the perfect test of unconditional love. I don't know how it is in Pennsylvania or Texas or Washington, but in Phoenix, there are so many horrible drivers. I think it's because everybody's from somewhere else. They have their own style and they don't know where they're going. We may not want to, but we are forced to deal with them. Try some unconditional love instead of the double backflip, and I guarantee your drive will be 10 times more pleasant. Calm down, Caleb. I wasn't going to tell them that you drive like an 80-year-old guy. Oops. Sorry. One more thought on how situations can seem horrible and yet be changed overnight with unconditional love. The relationship between my mom and my sister was virtually non-existent because of a dispute over living arrangements. They basically lost contact with each other. Now, my mom was trying to contact my sister, but my sister was just shutting her out. But my mom never stopped loving my sister unconditionally. Then in God's perfect timing, my sister had a stroke. In an instant, her life was shaken to the core. And she realized life's too fragile and short to hold a grudge. Now I'm getting choked up because it was a tough situation, but it was amazing at the same time. And she couldn't talk for 2 or 3 days. But when she finally did, guess what her first words were to my mom? She said, "I'm sorry." First thing she had to say was, "I'm sorry." Just like that, God changed it overnight. You know, she was going to hold a grudge forever. Why is it so easy to be mean rather than nice? Unconditional love allows us to have real relationships. Unconditional love allows us to be content with imperfect people. So, getting pretty close to the end. And I always have the short lessons. I do that for you guys because I know it's hard to keep your attention span. Pastor Rory might argue something else. But he did fall asleep last time we gave some lessons. So, thank you for giving me the proper motivation, Pastor. I understand it does get a little tiresome, so we'll keep these short. The third song reminds us that God will never leave our side, and he will lead us to our destiny. The third song by June Murphy is Destiny.
since before the beginning of time. I only want what's best for you. I'll work all things for good, because I know you love me, child. This must be understood. I'll lead you to your destiny. Come take my hand and follow me. Just trust in me. Come taste and see that there is none, no one like me, who will lead you to and be to you your destiny. I am the lover of your soul, protector, valiant knight. I'll caress you, hold you near through all your days and nights. My banner over you is love. You are my precious bride. I died and rose to live again. I'll never leave. I'll lead you to your destiny. Come take my hand and follow me. Just trust in me. Come taste and see that there is none.
So our closing verses. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content, whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound in the glory of God. So let me close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for always giving us what we need. Thank you for doing all the hard work to allow for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for giving and forgiving in grace so that we are free to have a relationship with you. I pray that you help us live what we have learned and have peace and happiness even in the hardest of times. And we pray that you continue to shape the message from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, your essence. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name, amen. Thank you for giving, thank you for coming, thank you for watching, and thank you for listening.